to the audio event of the century, featuring two lifelong best friends. We love the Leafs. We love each other. But most of all, we love William Nylander. Welcome to the Buds All Day.
Hello and welcome to a very euphoric edition of the Buds All Day podcast. I am Sats Mundine here with Lebda's Legacy.
How's it going, everyone?
And we are going to wrap up the Leafs' pivotal 2-1 victory in Game 3 of their first round series with the Montreal Canadiens. Lebda, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm absolutely on top of the world. I think when we, you know, recorded our playoff preview podcast, like you and me were both just 100% confident. Like nothing can really stop us from our confidence in our Maple Leafs. Game one happened. I got a little bit down. Game two happened. I'm like, okay, they answered, you know, some of the questions going into tonight. I was a little bit nervous. We know tomorrow night's a back to back. Leafs, you know, aren't always the greatest on the back to back. But then they came out tonight and they just eked out that 2-1 win. And oh man, for how much stress I had in that third period, boy, oh boy, has it just turned into elation now, fella.
Dude, my butt cheek clenches per 60 were like off the chain at an all time high in that third period. I don't know if my cheeks were flappy for 1 second of that period.
Legitimately, like screw squats, man. I don't need to do squats. I'll just keep clenching and unclenching, watching the Leafs play defense in the third, but. Hey, they got her done tonight, and I mean, that third kind of overshadowed what was a pretty dominant game by the Leafs. Like, the deserved to win a meter at 69%, high danger Corsi 4 at 54%. Corsi 4 or possession was at 50%, but the Leafs were above 60% in both, or in the first two periods, and even, you know, at 66% in the second, so dominant there. Scoring chances at 53%. So the Leafs did outplay the Montreal Canadiens, and that's despite getting, you know, absolutely shelled in the third. But this is why we kind of came out and said a lot of times this year, this Leafs team is different. This is a different defense. This is a more solid defense. And, you know, they had some poor goaltending in the regular season, mostly from Frederik Andersen. Jack Campbell comes in and, you know, maybe lets not the greatest goal in for Montreal's only goal, but he absolutely shuts the way in the third. And that's why they're different, man. That's why this team has potential. That's why I get so upset when they, you know, they don't perform to their potential, because it's there, whether it's a 5-1 like we saw the other night or a 2-1 tonight with, you know, pretty good defense. Like, it's there for these guys. They can win in a lot of ways, and let's just keep that train on going tomorrow night.
And as different as they've been all season, this was actually very poor performance in the third period of holding the lead, as like not for an average team, but for the way that they've been able to lock games down so much in the third period this year, to have given up. It says that Montreal only had three high danger chances. I feel like that's got to be a little bit off, because I thought there were three high danger chances in the last minute and a half between that, you know, that play that Perry passed it just over Suzuki's stick. You have that Caulfield shot that Hall freaking throws his face in front of and ends up blocking it. Like, I guess a lot of it probably did look worse than it actually was too, because the Habs are such a point shot heavy team. And when you have a one goal lead in a playoff game, I don't know about you, but like any point shot is a quarter of a heart attack for me. So I think it was maybe a little worse than it looked, or a little better than it looked on the Leafs end rather. But they held on, man. And kudos to Jack Campbell, man. He was an absolute stud tonight.
He could have been a difference maker tonight. You know, that Suzuki goal, not a great goal for him to give up. Let's be honest. It's a shot, you know, kind of from the outside. Could have been defended a little bit better by Morgan Riley. Yeah, I mean, pretty much every play can be defended a little bit better. But for him to come back and, you know, not really face anything in the first two periods, gave up a bit of a stinky one, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, Jack, like, I don't know about you tonight, buddy. And then comes into the third and just is an absolute rock, just a rock back there. Just really, really nice to see. I mean, we got to stop asking questions about Jack Campbell, because every question he's answering.
And one question that he certainly has answered, in my opinion, is, do we let Frederik Andersen start game four? Because the answer was a heck no, no chance. Keep him out of there. I don't care if it's a back-to-back. Jack got a day off during the week. I'm hoping that was in preparation for to play a back-to-back. And he had a heavy workload in the third. It wasn't too, too bad of a game, though, from a workload standpoint. So I am not rolling the dice with Frederik Andersen in game four.
No, I think if you're this Leafs team, you don't relinquish one little bit of momentum that you have right now by potentially starting Fred Emerson and him, you know, typical playoff Fred having a pumpkin. Jack Campbell did come out tonight after the game and said, you know, I'm ready for a back-to-back. I'm good to go. Feel confident. The boys do it all the time. Why can't I? So everything, you know, that kind of happened this game, him coming out and saying that, at least being ahead in the series, I think we're going to see Jack Campbell tonight. If we don't see Jack Campbell tonight, I think that's a little bit of Sheldon Keefe being up his own ass a little bit too much, or maybe, you know, maybe there's something that the medical team says, but I see no reason not to go with Jack Campbell tomorrow night.
Coming into this game, there was very, very little that could have happened that would have made me say, I want Freddie in that game. I'm thinking the only possible way is if Jack gave up like five goals and a win. And it's like, okay, we still have the lead. We can play our worst goalie. Jack had a rough night. Let's give him a break. But he absolutely took that door. He slammed it shut. He put 17 locks on it, twisted the keys 17 feet deep in all of them and said, I'm starting tomorrow. Sorry, Freddie. And I am so glad to have him. It wasn't just that he only allowed one goal tonight. It was the level of calm he had in the net. Just every shot, it was like his shirt was made of Velcro tonight. Like everything just stuck to him like glue. Anytime he gave up like a little rebound, it was about an inch or two away from him. He quickly scooped it up calmly. I mean, this guy is just in a zone and you have to ride him as far as he can take you. Now, someone else who was in a zone who we mentioned, he kind of had a bit of a blunder on that first goal too, but Morgan freaking Riley, take a bow, lad. You have been excellent for three straight games.
I think he's been the Leafs' best defenseman, in my opinion, and we usually can't say that too much about Morgan Riley. Tends to be one of those guys with big highs and big lows. He's come out, and he looks just so good out there. He's feisty. He's jumping in plays. You know, he's shooting the puck in smart times, and, you know, he doesn't always do that. He's playing fairly well defensively. Like, I think Morgan Riley really, really deserves some credit for, you know, this game tonight especially, but also the kind of the other night too, because he was fantastic. And, you know, when you see that from a guy who's been around that locker room in a long time, all those guys like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, the entire time they've been a Leaf, Morgan Riley has been there. So when you see someone who you've been around that much and you probably definitely look up to as a bit of a leader on the team performing that well, it's like we say about, you know, those old graybeards performing well. It's infectious through the lineup. And, you know, tonight wasn't the Leafs' most pretty win in the season, but they got it done and they're up in the series. And I think a lot of that has to do with Morgan Riley's really, really good play the last little while.
I'm just wondering where this guy was all season. Like, I think his decision-making, like, while still on that goal, obviously you could see he's not elite at quick twitch decision making on a 2-on-1 or things like that, but it's just the basic decisions that he's been making. He's not going for that egregious pinch. He's not doing those things that are giving the Habs a million 2-on-1s. And that is honestly all we ask for him. He doesn't have to be Zdeno Chara in his own end. He just has to not give up odd man rushes at a terrifying rate. And he has not. I can't remember TJ Brody having to swing that big sexy stick of his to stop a 2-on-1 once this series. Maybe it has happened, but I don't recall it. And you look at Riley, 18 and a half minutes at even strength tonight, 83% expected goals, which was behind only the Wayne train, Wayne Simmonds, but in twice the amount of time. Riley is playing absolutely elite. And honestly, if he could play like this, if this is just a switch that is turned and he's like, oh, I play smart, I play well, I would be open to re-signing this version of Morgan Riley in a heartbeat.
Yeah, if this is the real Morgan Riley, I mean, sign me up, man, because he absolutely is fantastic at providing offense for this team. It's just he's so brain dead at time that you're like, it's not worth it at this point. But, I mean, if this is the new Morgan Riley or the Morgan Riley going forward, then, hey, give him what he needs, because I am all aboard the Morgan Riley train, baby.
And speaking of trains, we said he led the team in unexpected goals. That was Wayne Simmonds. He slid up into that third line because Kerfoot had to slide up to line two to replace the injured Nick Foligno. And that third line did not skip a beat, man. Wayne Simmonds was running around. He was hitting. He was yapping. He was doing it all. I mean, you just have to be thrilled with the way that that line performed tonight. Mikheyev, 59% expected goals. Engvall, 80%. That man is written in stone like the Ten Commandments onto this Leafs lineup going forward.
Yeah, I think we were kind of texting and talking before the game here, and we were talking about what are you going to do with that line too as soon as we found out Foligno was out. And I was kind of like, I'm hesitant to put Kerfoot on there, not because I don't think he's a good fit, because I do think he is the best fit on there to jump up in the lineup. It's just that third line was so good the other night and so bad in game one that I didn't want, you know, Riley Nash going onto that third line and searing it again, or just it not looking good. So I was like, maybe we leave Kerfoot there and, you know, Galaxy brain our way to a second line. Kerfoot slides up. That second line I think was fantastic. And then, you know, I think the game started with Riley Nash there a little bit, and quickly Wayne Simmonds took that spot and they didn't look back once. I mean, Wayne Simmonds, man, if he's going to do that stuff again, like we just said with Morgan Riley, like if they're going to play that way, this could be a deep run for this team. If they have those guys that, you know, sometimes we are very critical of a Wayne Simmonds in the regular season or Morgan Riley, they just weren't playing up to, you know, the standards that I think this team needs. But in these playoffs, both of them have just been fantastic. And then Simmonds brings that little edge. You know, Montreal, they probably hate him in that room, which is awesome because then he just thrives and gets under their skin, grits and grinds. He had a couple opportunities. There was, you know, a shift in the second where the puck didn't leave his stick. Like, he looked like Austin Matthews out there dangling through people, getting pucks loose, you know, working it to the net, creating chances. So, I mean, I love me some Wayne Simmonds at the worst of times with him. But if he's, you know, playing like this, that love just amplifies another 120%.
Absolutely. And even like you said, if he's not playing well, I still, with the way the Habs play, with the way that they are so dirty, you know, they're starting stuff after every single whistle. I need a guy like Wayne Simmonds out there to keep things safe, because you can tell they don't want to fight him. He kicked Brent Sherrod's punk ass in the first game of the year in a fight. And Habs players will, you know, they'll cross check him in the face when he's not looking, but you will not see any of them drop the gloves. And if they have the audacity to try something with Austin Matthews or William Nylander or Mitch Marner, they know that that train is coming, and it is coming with the full force.
And we saw that tonight. There was that big scrum where Matthews is, you know, Shea Weber thinks he's a big old tough guy, you know, got Matthews' glove in his face. He's drawing him down. Ben Sherrod, I don't know what he's doing at the side of the net, you know, laying on top of Hyman, being a big old tough guy with his gloves off. And then we see it. Boom. The period ends. Wayne Simmonds waits till those guys are, you know, coming out of the box. He waits on the ice for those guys and he's lipping them the whole time. Like, and you know, he's telling them, he's like, Hey, none of that shit, man. None of that shit. You want to do that stuff? You do it to me, and I'm someone who will absolutely take care of you. Shea Weber's not going to fight with his little broken wrist or hurt wrist or whatever. Like, he's just a big fake tough guy with a big fake tough guy mustache, man. Like, it's embarrassing. And that's why, you know, Wayne Simmonds just walking over and being there and like, hey guys, I'm right here. If you want to do that kind of bullshit to our star players, I'm right here. I think it kind of calmed Montreal down a little bit in that third period.
Yeah. And then Montreal had to, you know, they had to try to come back and score, which is like, you know, one of the hardest things in the world is Montreal trying to score a comeback goal. So it wasn't happening. One funny thing about that whole sequence too was like, Hab fans on Twitter were like complaining that Chiarot got the extra penalty, and like Anderson and him are sitting in the box like yapping at the refs. It's like, dude, the refs don't have to let you get away with assault and battery 7,000 times every single game. Like, you can't be mad when you get called for cross-checking a guy in the face. That is not sports. That is abuse. If you did that on the streets, you're getting arrested. So just take your 2 minutes, sit down, Ben Sherratt. I mean, honestly, I get disappointed when he's in the box because he's so slow and he has absolutely no puck handling ability. So it is nice to see him out there. And I just had a chuckle late in the game. Like, I know they were generating offense, but with 2 minutes left down a goal, the Habs have such a poor puck moving defense that they were forced to put Ben Sherratt out there, and he did Ben Sherratt stuff. He did nothing of value. It's like, if you look at his offensive metrics, his offensive, his on ice production, like of his team while he is on the ice offensively, he is in the bottom 1% of defensemen in the league. So they're basically down a goal trying to have Roman Polak out there trying to tie it up. Like, there's just levels to this shit, man. And our defense is just 17 levels above theirs, because we have everybody on that defense can move the puck for us. Bogosian, even. He was probably our worst puck mover. And I saw about five different plays tonight where he dodged the guy. You know, he made a little quick little play on the boards and broke it out smoothly. And then you look at Montreal. How often did Zach Hyman trap them on the forecheck? How often did Mikheyev and Engvall get in there and get on those defensemen? Other than Petrie, Montreal is playing in mud behind their, you know, behind their own net with the puck. Now, speaking of excellent puck movers, there is no denying that William Nylander is one of the league's finest at that capability. And man, oh man, did he score. I wouldn't call it his nicest goal ever, but he did a little bit of weaving and winding and all that good stuff. And he just found the gap and put it right between Price's leg and the post and in.
Yeah, it's a set play. I think Kevin Bieksa actually talked about it in the intermission on CBC, but that's one of those set plays by the Leafs where they win it back to that winger and they curl to the middle and then the defenseman kind of cuts down low to the corner or drives to the net or kind of whatever. So there's a little bit of movement there. This time William Nylander does that little curl, sees a little bit of an opening, lots of traffic in front, probably thinks, hey, I'll fire it in there, try and get either a rebound or a tip or whatever. And, it just one of those seeing eye shots that just finds its way through and sneaks in between Price's pad and the post. And I mean, Willie Styles, man, like he is absolutely balling out right now.
And who called that, baby? Who said that he was going to be the X factor in the series with 7 points in five games, 4 to 5 goals? Oh, that was me. Okay. Enough tooting my, your own horn, Stats. So let's get a little bit more into Willie tonight. Cause there's a bit of a tale of two lines tonight with that Nylander line, with and without Galchenyuk. So when they had Galchenyuk on the ice tonight, they were paltry from an expected goals perspective. He was on for that goal, but obviously Galchenyuk did not contribute to it at all. In 7 minutes together, that line had an expected goals rate of 15%. And you go and you look at the individual numbers. Galchenyuk ended at 15%, but then Kerfoot and Nylander in only 5 minutes played outside of Galchenyuk, they were able to drag their individual expected goals for up to 50% each. So that's just a monumental drop off when you're with Galchenyuk. So it really leaves me questioning whether he sees the press box next game.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is kind of a tough one when you look at that line, because I think Alex Kerfoot had a pretty good game individually, and William Nylander scored a goal, and I think he was really good individually. But, I mean, it's clear that Alex Galchenyuk tonight was not good enough. I think with the options that the Leafs have, I think when someone has a game that bad and there's a back-to-back, honestly, I think you pull them out of the lineup and be like, that wasn't good enough. Wait for your next shot. If you're not good enough your next shot, then, you know, your chance is kind of done. So I really do think if you're Sheldon Keefe, you pull him out of the lineup. And I think, honestly, we could probably say that about, you know, Riley Nash tonight too. I know maybe a little bit tougher circumstances for Riley Nash with finding out probably a little bit late that he was playing. But, I mean, Foligno missed the morning skate, so he had to have some idea. And he's clearly just not good enough for the series, whether it's, you know, him being too slow coming back from the injury or just the matchup isn't favorable. But I think both those guys definitely need to step up their game with a little bit more emphasis on Alex Galchenyuk, because he is someone who's supposed to contribute in the top six for the Leafs.
Yeah, I could definitely see a role for Riley Nash down the line if we're facing a Colorado or a Tampa or something, when you want to have a shutdown line. And then, you know, he's been going to practices more regularly for 3 to 4 weeks by that point. He's a little bit more acclimated to the team. But right now there's just no need for him against Montreal, which is a team that's just not posing that much of an offensive threat. Whereas, like, Adam Brooks, I just feel like could offer a lot more. So you look at the next game, hopefully Foligno can slide in. I personally would pull out Galchenyuk, pull out Riley Nash, pop Adam Brooks in there. So you can keep Kerfoot on that second line with Foligno and Nylander. And then I think you just keep that third line together as well. You keep Simmons with Engvall and Mikheyev. You don't try to fix something that isn't broke. I'm stumbling on my words today. And then you go back to that line that was pretty effective in the regular season with Adam Brooks centering Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton. They were able to create offense, and that could be absolutely critical for the Leafs in these close games.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I know a lot of that does depend on Nick Foligno. I'm kind of hoping that he was, for the most part, good enough to go tonight. Like, if it was Game 7, he probably would have played tonight. And either, like, you know, like, there still is quite a bit of hockey to play. Let's not risk anything getting aggravated too much. give you the night off. You'll play on the back-to-back, hopefully. Slide in on the second line, Kerfoot, Nylander. I think that line can definitely have some success. At this point, we don't really need to worry about that third line. Engvall and Mikheyev are just, you know, so Beast. Good in that pairing together. And Wayne Simmonds, if he fits in like that, then that's a done deal. Fourth line has definitely left me kind of wanting a little bit more from them. More so Joe Thornton, I think, than Jason Spezza. Jason Spezza has looked a little bit better, but Jumbo just hasn't really, you know, been that kind of force on the fourth line that he showed kind of glimpses of today. This year. And, you know, when they played with Adam Brooks seemed to really drag that line up in terms of like possession and expected goals. So I really do like that idea. And I think it is a really, you know, kind of effective lineup for the Leafs, or at least can be.
Yeah, I don't even know if their advanced numbers were that good, but they just, it was more of an eye test thing and a results thing. Like, they were getting goals and you could see why. Adam Brooks, we've talked about it before. He scored 130 points his last year of junior. He's clearly got a great offensive mind. And when you're playing with two savants like Jumbo and Spezza, you're going to find opportunities. So if you can put that line out there, instead of having Riley Nash, you have Brooks there, you play that as a very offensive fourth line and you give them mostly offensive zone starts and hope they can get something going off the cycle and Brooks can find somebody for a pass or something like that. And then you just let that Mikheyev Engvall line, you kind of let them start shifts in their own zone because they have the speed to break out into the zone and absolutely demolish the Habs on the forecheck. I think that's kind of an underrated thing that we didn't see coming into the series as to why Engvall could be so valuable. We talked about how poor Montreal's D is at moving the puck. If you have Engvall and Mikheyev coming at you 100 miles an hour every single play, when you're already a piss poor puck mover, I mean, it makes complete logical sense why they're going to be able to, you know, put up the numbers they have. And then Simmonds fits that pretty well too. He's obviously not fleet of foot, but man, is he going to come in hard on the forecheck and have defensemen looking over their shoulders every time they go and retrieve it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of those things I like about, you know, those three lines and all four lines of the Leafs at that point is they all can chip in offense. Whereas when we started kind of game one, or, you know, there was a couple lines where you're like, they're not really going to do anything offensively. Let's be honest. Like, they're just there to play defense. And if they get really lucky, they can chip in. But if you look at these lines, like Foligno, Kerfoot, both very good defenders. William Nylander, very underrated defender. They can produce offense. Mikheyev, Engvall, Simmonds, we've talked enough about them. They can produce offense. Jumbo, Brooks, Spezza, we know Jason Spezza and Joe Thornton can produce offense. They just need a little bit of that kind of kick in the butt to, you know, get them in the zone and get them, you know, those looks in the offensive zone. And I think Adam Brooks has provided that this year. And so you look at that team and it's looks a lot deeper, you know, especially without Tavares. Just looks a lot deeper than what they've kind of iced in the few games of the series so far.
Yeah, that Tavares injury, it has forced the Leafs into some line combinations they wouldn't have otherwise tried, and now they see that they have a lot more options than I think you and I even maybe gave them credit for. And man, oh man, is it going to be nice if we can get a jolt of getting John Tavares back and still have these options available to us? Like, man, this. It's crazy if you think about how well they're playing when you are taking John Tavares out of this team. You saw Montreal without Brendan Gallagher.
You suck!
You look at the Leafs, they lose a player way better than Gallagher, and they have hardly missed a beat. Like, they've been playing excellent. So this forward group is giving me a lot of faith going forward. So the Habs were able to tie the game through that Nick Suzuki goal that we mentioned earlier. Obviously, we don't really need to talk about it. We admitted it was kind of a bit of a mistake from Riley and Campbell, but Riley quickly made up for it by scoring the go-ahead goal less than 3 minutes later.
Yeah, really, really good work by Morgan Riley. We were tooting his horn earlier. We'll toot it a little bit more, but I mean, a great, great pass by Mitch Marner too. TJ Brody kind of starts to play a little bit, gets the puck down low, finds its way to Marner, little give and go with Morgan Riley, and then a great across the ice pass to Morgan Riley, who skates in and actually looking at it like, Carey Price kind of cheats, thinking, I think, Morgan Riley's going to pass that. Riley probably sees that, just boom, right over Price's shoulder. So not the greatest goaltending by Carey Price, but a really, really nice play by Morgan Riley to, you know, get that shot off and have, you know, the wherewithal to be able to shoot that so quickly, seeing that Price was out of position a little bit.
Yeah, Price did have a great game today, I thought. He made a bunch of big saves in that second period. I thought the Leafs could have left that period 4-1, but that was not his finest moment. Like, he was cheating heavily on that play. Riley doesn't even pick a corner. It was right in the center. I remember talking with my dad. I thought it was just because he was like trying to come across the ice from that Marner pass, but Riley held onto it for a while and he was there. He just like he was dodging the puck. It was silly. Yeah. Just cheating. You're not expecting a defenseman to shoot. That's why Mitch Marner should shoot sometimes on the power play, because sometimes the goalies, or the other team, they're not expecting you to shoot, and that just throws everything off. So, I mean, great play. Now, speaking of Mitch Marner, I saw a lot of Mitch Marner slander tonight, and I get it. Like, he's made some mistakes in this series. He's had chances that he's kind of boofed, and he's, you know, he just hasn't had that finishing touch. And especially, like, I will admit, on the power play, he has been a horrible. But you look at him at even strength tonight. He 63% expected goals. He got a critical assist. Like, that was an excellent pass that he made to Morgan Riley. I think we got to cut the guy some slack. He's got 3 points so far. It's like people are acting like he's honestly just been an absolute turnstile with 0 points and getting cratered on expected goals like Brendan Gallagher. But no, Marner is just, he's doing a lot. He's just not finishing. If he could shoot, man, we would be off to the races.
Yeah, man, I saw people legitimately like talking about Marner's contract tonight. Like, oh, he's so overpaid. He never plays in the playoffs kind of thing. And I'm like,
Daddy, chill.
He had a bad power play, like a real stinky, stinky power play. I'll give you that. But I mean, give it a break a little bit. Like, the guy was good tonight. Like, there's nothing else you can say of that. He was amazing on the penalty kill early on in the game when, I mean, that game could have went pretty south very quickly for the Leafs. 4 minute power play for Montreal right off the bat. Mitch Marner was very good on that. 5v5, the numbers are great. Did him, Austin, and, you know, Zach Hyman have their greatest game as a Leaf? No, but they were solid again. Pucks didn't go in for them. I mean, I will say this, I think Mitch Marner lacked a little bit of intensity or a little bit of will to go and get a loose puck, but that's stuff that just happens in a game. And all this Marner talk about, you know, oh, we need to get rid of him. He never shows up in the playoffs. When's Mitch Marner actually going to show up? Like, we need to give it a little bit of rest because the guy's been good for us. Has he been, you know, otherworldly Nathan MacKinnon level like he's been this playoffs? No, but he's been a very good player for us. And if those bounces start to go in a little bit more for that line, then, I mean, no one's even going to think about, you know, slandering Mitch Marner on the timeline.
No, and I don't get it either because he's played a pivotal role in both of our wins. Like, he set up Sandin beautifully in game two. He took that pass from Matthews in his feet, kicked it to his stick, and put it on a platter for Sandin. And then he had a great play to create that goal for Matthews to take the lead in the last game too. Like, we just got to appreciate the good things we have. He is an exceptional player, and has he had his best games? No, but this is what Mitch Marner does. You'll think he played like garbage, and then you'll look at the score sheet and you're like, oh, three primary assists for Mitch Marner and expected goals above 75%. That's par for the course. So I think we just need to give him a break. Now, moving into the stars of the game, Lebda, I'll give you first choice, and this one's on a platter for you, pal. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I don't think there's much discussion who I'm going to take here. It's the soup man himself, Mr. Chunky Campbell.
It's all in the can! It's all in the can! Campbell's Chunky Soup!
Boy, did he have himself a great, great game.
Yeah, stopped 28 of 29 shots, held us in at the end, looked confident throughout. We've already talked about him today, so we don't need to go into too much more detail, but start this man in game four and let's go home to Toronto 3-1. Now, my star of the game, I really considered Morgan Riley because, like we said earlier, I love the way he's been playing, but somebody else who has been an absolute man on a mission is our boy Willie Styles. Tonight, he opened the scoring with that, you know, that shifty little goal weaving through and finding that lane for that shot. And he's just been playing, like, he's forechecking hard. He's basically playing with two third liners, and that's almost being generous at this point. And he's not really skipped a beat. Obviously, we mentioned their numbers with Galchenyuk weren't great, but even while being saddled to Galchenyuk for that much of the game, he still finished with his 47% expected goals. So Willie is doing it all. And I, for one, am just glad to see him just shatter that BS about him not being a playoff guy.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really crucial thing for this Leafs lineup. Like, John Tavares is obviously such a huge hole to fill. And Willie Nylander just, you know, kind of taking a little bit on his back, playing with intensity, getting, you know, crucial goals for this team. That's a goal of the game in the playoffs. Like, you cannot ask any more from this guy. And I think, yeah, if we didn't see Alex Galchenyuk just saddling that line tonight, that line probably would have been, you know, the Leafs' best line or one of the Leafs' best lines on the night. So, I mean, it is a little bit maybe harsh not to give it to Morgan Rielly. He's been fantastic, but you can't argue against William Nylander getting a star of the game tonight either.
No, and this would segue into my final thought of the podcast, which I want to be quick about it. We've talked about the power play a lot, how it's been disappointing. All I will say is just one thing, Sheldon. Please put William Nylander where you have Mitch Marner. Just put him in the shooter spot. Let him cook. Put Marner down low, and let's watch this power play score 100 goals.
And that about wraps things up for us here at the Buds All Day podcast. Now, if you guys did enjoy the podcast, please tell your friends. We're trying to get lots of momentum going with the playoffs. Follow us on Twitter. Sats does a lot of great work on that Twitter account. I, you know, chip in with some, you know, horrendous tweets myself every now and then, but it's a good place to kind of keep up with everything we're doing, whether it is the podcast, whether it is YouTube, whether you just need, you know, a chuckle mid-game because something funny happened or, you know, a little bit of a calm down before the game. Definitely check us out there. If you are willing and you do enjoy the podcast, leave us a review on whatever podcast host you do listen to the podcast. It would mean a lot. And like I said before, share the podcast with your friends. We're trying to, you know, reach as many Leaf fans as we can and, you know, really interact with you guys and keep this kind of, you know, fun playoff time going for everyone. So that'd be super awesome. And with all that being said, Sats, I know we already had our final thoughts, but is there anything else you need to get off your chest tonight?
There's one thing, baby, and that is that the Buds are all day. Let's go.
Let's go, everyone.